Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And we are here on Sunday. It's been a while since we've been here on Sunday. We've had to do some Monday. We had to do a Wednesday. I've had a lot of travel and just hasn't worked out. Unfortunately, I have more travel coming up this summer. I know in a couple of weeks, we'll have to shift to a Monday because I'm coming back from the beautiful state of Hawaii, and flight doesn't get in until Monday morning, so that'll be a Monday deal probably. And other than that, at least I might be okay. I don't know. I think Tim's good, so hopefully we'll be here every Sunday evening. Today marks the ceremonial midway point between the first and second half. Really, the official was last week, but All-Star break is this week, and I love the All-Star break. Gives me a chance just to decompress a little bit, not think about my teams for a while. I don't know how you're doing with your teams. We'll talk to the great Tim McCloud in a few minutes when he gets here, and we'll talk about how our teams are doing, and then most of the show is going to be on those second half picks and pans. So those guys that we feel like are going to really take off, who've either been underperforming or maybe guys who have already been playing well, are going to continue to play well, and those guys that we think are about to have a regression. After this week, you'll start to hear lots of trade rumors. So it'll probably start on Wednesday. Usually not a lot of, they usually allow the midseason classic to go unabated, but you would think after Tuesday, you would start to hear a lot of trade rumors, and there's a lot swirling. The interesting thing is there's so many teams that are still in it that it's that second wild card is making it very, very interesting. A lot of buyers, not a lot of sellers. Today, obviously, was the futures game, which is my area of interest, and it was a great game. The U.S. winning the game, and I got to tell you, when I go back and I watched the entire game, I was not in Miami, could not make it down there this year. I was really impressed with Brent Honeywell. I mean, he looked very polished out there, and I'm shocked that, well, I'm not shocked because it's the Rays, that he's still in the minor leagues. I mean, the stuff was good. I mean, it was only two innings. He was hitting 97, 98, looked really, really good. Michael Kopech, though, guys, if you didn't get a chance to see his stuff, I've seen him live before, some of the Arizona Fall League, and I saw him in low A or high A, one of the two last year. Impressive stuff. Just plowing off 100 after 100 after 100 miles an hour with a really good slider as well. Now, there's not a lot of effort to the delivery, which is good, but he still could be a closer one day. And because usually guys that throw that hard, you know, they usually wind up in the pen. Just saying, but it doesn't matter. He's going to be extremely good. From a positional, Yadier Alvarez started off. I got a chance to see him start a game in the high A. He kind of came into the season a little out of shape, and I know the Dodgers were not very happy about that. He's tall and skinny. He had really, really good stuff. That's what I was impressed with. He got hit around when I saw him at Rancho Cucamonga about 6 weeks ago. Looked better out there. He started the game for the World Team. The World Team was stacked. Yoan Moncada led off. They had Alex Verdugo and Ahmad Rosario, Rafael Devers, Ronald Acuna, Eloy Jimenez. I mean, it just starts off with those six guys. And you'll see my top 50 prospects, midseason prospects, coming out this week. I think they come out on Tuesday with some guys that just missed on Wednesday. It is amazing, that top 10, how many Latin players there are. I mean, I just read them. A lot of those guys are. There's a lot of top 10 guys running that list. I mean, just stacked. Rafael Devers looked really good. Amad Rosario was trying too hard. He was trying to kill the ball. Did not look good. But one guy that actually did not get the start, actually two guys that didn't get the start that I really liked on that world team was Yordan Alvarez, a Cuban dude who's come over. He's now on high A with the Mets organization. Excuse me, the Houston Astro organization. And then Thomas Nito with the Mets, catcher. I own these both of these guys in a lot of dynasty leagues, and Nito was 2 for 2, and Alvarez 1 for 1 with a really nifty play at first base, 1 for 1 with a walk. So really good stuff. On the U.S. team, I mean, what's not to like? You know, Derek Fisher was there. We've already seen in the major leagues look great. Lewis Brinson stole a base, stole it directly off the pitcher. Kyle Tucker, good. Not a quick twitch athlete though. Kind of a more of a again that mode that you like in terms of just a guy who's got a very easy swing, a very classic swing up there, not hacking away, but just taking it easy up there. And Ryan McCann. If you don't like Ryan McMahon, you got to go watch the world. You got to go watch the Futures game because. He was out there talking at first base, had him mic'd up. Fun guy. I've heard nothing but great things about him from a makeup standpoint. Of everybody I've talked to around baseball, just saying this guy is a great baseball player, a chance to be very, very special, but 80-grade makeup, 80-grade personality, and is going to be a clubhouse guy as well. So just some real quick observations. Obviously, Brendan Rodgers, who is in my top 10. He's been in my top 10 for a while. And one of the few U.S. guys in that top 10. Just amazing where all of that talent is now coming from. Anyway, that was a quick little update on the Futures game. Let's bring in the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. Sounds like you had yourself a right busy day.
I did, Timmy. Got your waiver wire up. I wrote all my notes up about I keep wanting to say the World Baseball Classic, but the Futures game, a lot of fun to watch. I know, Timmy, did you get a chance to watch it?
No, I was too busy trying to work my abacus and keep track of the score in the Astros Jays game, Rich.
19-1, Timmy. Astros got a really, really good team, and Dallas Keuchel comes back, and I don't know, Tim. They look like I think they look like the – at least the clubhouse turned the favorite to make it to the World Series in the American League.
Yeah, I think people who are liking an Astros-Dodgers World Series could get their wish this year. A lot of talent on both teams, and both playing very, very well.
I know, and the Dodgers, Timmy, they look like they're a grade better, though, than the Astros. And the Nationals could be right in the mix too, Timmy, but they don't have a bullpen. It's embarrassing how bad that bullpen is, and we've talked about it ad nauseum. The Lerner family will not spend money after the season starts, so it'll be interesting to see if Mike Rizzo can convince them you got to spend money. We've got a great team, and only one more year after this year, likely of Bryce Harper, because he's going to be a Yankee. He's going to cost a ton of money. And it's just embarrassing that they don't have a bullpen at all.
Well, and you know, we're starting to see, you know, the move to get Fetty into the bullpen could come back to bite them as well, because there's no depth at AAA for the Nats when it comes to starting pitching. There's no depth anywhere. And let's face it, Joe Ross got pulled today. He was hitting mid to upper 80s with the fastball when he got pulled. I haven't seen any reports on the status of his injury, but between him and Tanner Roark and what I believe is going to be some regression out of Gio Gonzalez, the starting pitching isn't as good as it could be heading into the second half.
Yeah, tricep injury, they're saying, which is tricep, I think, is connected to the elbow. So you never like to hear about stuff like that when it involves his pitching arm. So don't know how long he'll be out, Timmy, but not good news. And it's funny. It's always fun to play armchair quarterback and look back in history. But as good as Michael Taylor has been this year, they did not need Adam Eaton. Even though Adam Eaton got injured, they turned out they didn't need him.
No, and you know, looking back a few years, I remember seeing Goodwin in the AFL and really liking what I saw, and it took a few years for him to get up to the big league team, but Goodwin's proving to be an asset as well as Taylor. So you're right. I don't think they needed the offense, and the cost to them was rather high.
The cost of them was all the depth you're talking about, Timmy. Now, Lucas Giolito, again, pitched extremely well last night. This is a guy that's, you know, good thing he did get out of the Nationals organization because they messed with his mechanics and he's coming back. And Timmy, I saw him a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's a beautiful delivery. I mean, the stuff is fantastic. He just doesn't quite finish properly, and, you know, the control's not there. There's Ronaldo Lopez out there as well, who's also pitching fairly well. They've lost their entire depth.
Well, yeah, when they converted Fetty into a reliever, that's the big three. A.J. Cole and Austin Voth really aren't big assets right about now, are they?
No, but see, they probably wouldn't have – well, maybe they would have converted Fetty. They would have had that luxury of converting Fetty into a bullpen arm. Maybe they would have put Lopez as a bullpen arm. You know, I've always said I still think he's a closer long term. But they have no options now because they felt like they needed Adam Eaton. I think overpaid for him. And how they didn't get David Robertson back in that deal is beyond me. And, I mean, yeah. I can't believe it would have cost them that much more. But I think Mike Rizzo got taken to the woodshed, Timmy.
Yeah, I think so as well. And now the rumor is that they're looking at Justin Wilson from the Tigers. But rumors coming out of Washington is they're looking at absolutely everybody where there's a possibility when it comes to the pen. And it's a mess.
Totally, Timmy. And I before you got on, I was commenting that now that the All-Star game is here, by Wednesday, there's rumors are already starting to fly, but they're going to really be rampant here for the next 20 days until we get to the end of the month. It's usually let the All-Star game go, you know, unabated, and then they don't care about the AAA All-Star game on Wednesday. They're going to be out there pounding rumor after rumor after rumor.
Yeah, my guess is some of the guys might actually end up going to a different team right directly from the All-Star game, Rich. I think it's going to be fast and furious, and I think there's going to be quite a few early moves. It wouldn't surprise me to see something happen towards Thursday, Friday of this week to get the whole thing rolling.
I think a lot of it's going to be, I mean, we've seen it the last couple of years, Timmy, with the Cleveland Indians with their great bullpen, and the year before that with the Kansas City Royals and their great bullpen. You need bullpen arms, and I think some of those guys are going to be hand out in San Diego is a guy that's being talked about a lot that might get moved. Justin Wilson is another guy. A lot of the closers, and people are thinking Melanson would get moved, but he's injured. So I think it's going to be a lot of these setup guys that get moved at the deadline, which I think is going to be pretty interesting.
Well, yeah, because a lot of teams are looking to beef up their bullpens. Even teams like the Red Sox, they could use another solid arm at the back end. And I think there's going to be a few dreams shattered when you look at the saves category in the next couple of weeks, because I think you're going to see some closers moving into setup positions. And as it normally does, it'll cause turmoil in our game.
Yeah, absolutely, Timmy. That's kind of what makes it fun as well. So let's move over to our game very quickly. We're at the ceremonial halfway point. Timmy, give me a team, one of your teams that's doing very, very well, and one of your teams that just is a lost cause. And what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do over the All-Star break for those two teams?
Well, you know, the team obviously that stands to better itself the most is probably Tote, and I'm looking at shopping Chapman and or Osuna over the break in the hopes to be able to secure another starting pitcher or outfielder. But I moved up to 12th, was up to 11th yesterday in that one. So I'm doing what I can do in that one. I'm trying to secure more points so I can get to that magic 75 and not lose any fab. And I'm just going to plug away and hopefully move up slowly but surely into a mid-pack situation. As far as teams that are rolling well, look over your shoulder a little bit, Rich, in DL2.
Let me take a look. I haven't CK, 99 points. You're only 26 points behind me, Timmy. Oh, whoa, I gotta watch out.
Well, you know, we were sitting 7th, 8th, you know, a week or two ago, and we made the trade for Michael Fulmer. We're looking at possibly picking up some more pitching, flipping Derek Fisher for starting pitching. And even though we're in 5th right now, I think come end of the year, we're gonna give some teams up at the top a good run there. I'm 2nd, 3rd in a couple other leagues, and basically I've shored up some deficiencies, and you know, we acquired Chris Davis for Austin Meadows in one league. DL5 has been a horrible year injury wise, but we've made several moves in the past couple weeks looking to next year. So I'm active in all of them. And like I said, don't write us off in DL2, Rich. We're going to try and keep you honest.
Yeah, the great Robert Mershak. I'm not going to write him off either. He's only 11 points down on me. I will say that team, Timmy, though, I played the last 6 weeks without my best two players and Michael Trout and Freddie Freeman, and I held my own. I held serve, which is good, and I got Freddie Freeman back this week. By the way, he looked really, really good. And I'm going to get Michael Trout back on Friday. So I made it. Now I just have to add a few more points here and there and hopefully hold on to the bitter end.
Yeah, that's an interesting league because there's a pile of points to be gained in ERA and WHIP, and it can happen very quickly because things are very, very bunched up. So, like I said, I'm just looking forward to playing hard in that one down the stretch, however it ends up eventually working out.
Absolutely, Timmy. I'm winning two leagues at the moment, DL 2 and
nice.
4, which is good. And I'm in the money in DL 1. That team's under. I finally got my pitching back, so I'm hopeful that John Gray and David Price will help my pitching staff, which is just it's just been a slog. So I get those guys back and maybe have a chance to truly stay in the money on that. And DL3, that league I talked about last week, has a really good team. It's just underperforming about 6th place, of about 10 points out of the money, 15 points out of the money. DL5, I took a different strategy. That's a league that's about two years out. And my NFBC team is just a disaster team. I drafted poorly, and I just screwed up. So.
Well, yeah, it happens, Rich. A lot of my problems this year have ended up due to injuries. You know, I lost Thor and Bumgarner in a total of 3 leagues. Absolutely killer losses, especially when pitching has been as volatile as it has been. And you know, even in the site league, I think I'm currently sitting 4th or 5th, but I've lost Trey Turner, Freeman, Marcus Semien, Aaron Sanchez. The list goes on and on. Kevin Kiermaier in a pile of leagues. It's been a bad year for me for injuries, but that's just part of the game. Every 5, 6, 7 years, you run into a year where you just end up getting killed by injuries. And hopefully we'll put this one to rest this year, and we're going to draft healthy next year, Rich.
Yeah, there you go. I think at the NFBC, I'm not going to draft in early January. If I do, I'm going to draft again later because I'm not ready in early January, Tim. I'm just not. It's clear I don't know what I'm doing. So that was where I drafted as Drubal Cabrera, and I realized I had no speed, and it just it was a disaster, and it's just been bad. And but I do it so I can get access to the ADPs, and we can talk about that. But it's just not good. Don't draft in the first week in January, Tim. It's very hard.
No, what it does is it gives you an opportunity, like you said, to look at the ADPs, but provides them either way. So you can pick up those ADPs without actually playing in a league. So I'm going to wait, and I'm not doing any early ones either. Too many things happen between the middle of January and the middle of March, and hey, kudos to you if you can draft in February and end up picking yourself a winner, but you can also end up with a situation where you end up with 4 healthy players that aren't by the end of March, and that puts you in a big hole.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, Timmy, I do most of my big writing in the fall, and I'm finishing up in December, and then 2 weeks later I'm drafting and haven't even thought about Major League Baseball, and it's just not working. So I need to readjust what I'm doing here. So but anyway, so that, who cares about that? And nobody cares that I waste $150, and it's down the toilet. Tim, I'll be $150 poorer again next year, I bet.
No, you'll draft in March and you'll rock it.
There you go.
Congratulations on the two dynasty leagues. That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I did. And DL4, though, I did lose Trey Turner, and I made a trade to get in Eduardo Nunez, which didn't work because he's still injured. So, oh boy, it's just, it's tough. Timmy, let's talk about the All-Star game. I put it on the schedule last week. We never got to it. And, it's interesting. I was going to do a quick guess the player, but I don't have the music queued up. But in the American League, do you know who has the most All-Star appearances? No more Derek Jeter and David Ortiz. So who is the old man on the All-Star roster? Do you have any idea?
I haven't a clue. It should be Robinson Cano, but he's not on the team.
That is correct. So wait a minute. Oh, maybe I should do the music here, Sammy, because it's more fun when I know something and you don't know. So let's see. Here we go. Yeah, so Timmy, there's one player. I'll give you a hint. There's a couple players have 5 All-Star games underneath their on their resume. Name any 3 of them, and you win.
Name any 3? Okay,
yep.
Well, you know what, Rich? The show notes this week, you provided me with this nice handy link that I'm currently looking at on my laptop, eh?
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Mike Trout, Jose Altuve, and scrolling down, Trout, Altuve, and
so does it have all, maybe just 2 of them, Tim? So it has the number of years that they're on there?
No, it doesn't. No. I'm only semi-cheating in that I have the names. It doesn't have the number of years. I'll go with Joey Votto.
Joey Votto's he's in the National League, Tim. But in the American League, it is, in fact, Jose Altuve. And I don't know if Michael Trout has 5. I just remember Jose Altuve having 5, which I thought was pretty fascinating, Tim. He's only been in the league 6 years with 5 All-Star appearances.
Well, yeah, and he's heading into the break on a tear. I think he's got 3 hits in his past 3 games. An amazing player, a top 10 pick next spring, guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, he got 4 for 5 today. It was crazy. He and Carlos Correa, who, Timmy, we haven't talked about Carlos Correa. He's up to 22 home runs at the shortstop position, batting like .330.
Yeah, but he's not stealing any bases, Rich. He's a bum.
Combined home run total for Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger.
Hello?
Hey, you still there?
Yeah, did I lose you?
Yeah, I was trying to bring up that link to me, but there's a video playing, and it started, it got in my ear. I didn't know what I was hearing, but I was hearing you. I don't know, so I can't even look at the All-Star roster. So, why do these links, Timmy, why do they show video?
Playing.
I mean,
I was playing the same video, so you might have been listening to me. I was trying to kill it, and I couldn't kill it quick enough up here.
Oh, man. It was a disaster. So let's maybe ESPN won't have – I was trying to – sometimes you kill it, then you bring your whole browser down, and it's really bad. Yeah. Let's see. All right. At least Carlos Correa. So Carlos – okay, I don't have like a nice little list here, but I know your buddy Avi Garcia made the list, Timmy, and Yonder Alonso, who sounds like he'll be traded. I mean, 2 guys that, who would have thought Justin Smoke or Yonder Alonso would have made the All-Star team getting into the season?
Well, my guess would be the odds on that heading into April probably would have been on both 1,000 to 1.
Yeah. Who do you think more, Justin Smoke or Yonder Alonso?
I've watched a lot of Justin Smoke this year, and I'm believing everything I'm seeing. I'm all in on Smoke, Rich.
Really?
totally all in.
Wow. Okay, I finally got the list. Hey, Tim, I went to Wikipedia and found a better list. So, it does look like Robinson Cano is on the – he's a reserve, it says.
Oh, okay, maybe I just missed that one, but I didn't see it on the first list. Maybe he's one of the injury replacements that have been named, because there's been a whole slew of players that have been named as replacement players now in addition to the the original list.
Yeah, he was named in the roster replacement of Starling Castro. Jose Altuve with five All-Star appearances. Michael Trout with six, but he's not playing in the game. So Jose Altuve, in terms of the guy he's playing, has the most number, which is so awesome. But here on the American League, Timmy, Justin Smoke, Jose Ramirez, Carlos Correa, Aaron Judge, George Springer, and Corey Dickerson, all are – this is their first All-Star game.
First of many, Rich. First of many. It's a young team, but it's a young game right now, so that makes total sense.
And I guess that was my point of doing the little guess the player of – I mean, Jose Altuve is, 26 years old, 27 years old. This is a young player still, and he's got five All-Stars already, so five All-Star games already. So this is a very, very young squad. The National League, a little bit older. You got the Ryan Zimmermans and Daniel Murphys of the world. But in general, it's a young person's game now.
Definitely. We used to talk about heading into peak power years being 27 to 29. I'm sort of thinking 25 to 27, maybe.
I think it's earlier than that. Go back to Carlos Correa. He has a chance to hit 40 home runs. I mean, if that's not a peak yet, I mean, what's his peak going to be, 50? I can't believe that, but I think they're starting 22, 23. I mean, look what Bryce Harper did at that age.
Yeah, I think what's happened is the growth curve that historically we've seen, which is a fairly steady curve up to that age, now starts and goes 45 degrees right off the bat and just keeps on sailing until it plateaus out.
So do you watch the All-Star game?
No, I haven't watched the All-Star game since, I believe, Gary Carter hit two home runs in one. It's been years, Rich. I have very, very little use for a game that counts, that's determined in a manner where it shouldn't count. How's that?
Well, it doesn't count anymore, so they stopped that. So now it's totally an exhibition game. But I don't know. I've never really – I keep it on in the background, but I'm not watching. Like, I watched and took notes during the Futures game. I'm not going to do that. I don't know if it's partially because there's nothing in it for me, Timmy. None of the stats count with my fantasy teams. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. I've just never had all that much interest in the All-Star game. And I think Bud Selig took a lot of that away from me as well, with some of the silliness that we saw during his regime. You know, the game's going to count, and then we have a tie game. And, you know, I don't like the idea. If it's a fun game, sure, the fans should vote. If it's not a game that counts, the fans should never have been involved. As much as I love Pat Neshek and he's had a good year, catching him in an All-Star game isn't high on my list. The Home Run Derby, I'll watch. I enjoy that. It's a lot of fun. But the game itself, no interest here.
It's interesting because, I haven't watched the Home Run Derby, just bits and pieces. I usually go to a game on – in fact, I'll be going to a game tomorrow night, going to the beach in the afternoon, Timmy, the morning and afternoon, and going. Lori and I are going to catch a game in the evening. But I might try to make it home at least to catch the tail end of this Home Run Derby. Timmy, it's – I mean, we're talking, this could be really cool. Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Mike Moustakas, Miguel Sano, Cody Bellinger, Charlie Blackmon. Tell me why Charlie Blackmon's there. Aaron Judge and Justin Bour. I mean, we're talking seven big mashers there.
Well, yeah, there's a couple that I dispute their, their presence. Charlie Blackmon, for one. Yeah, Logan Morrison should be in there, I think, as an NL rep. Gary Sanchez, he is going to be, if not already, the best power-hitting catcher in the game. But look at what George Springer has done this year. It's a shame that Springer's not involved in that contest. And also, you get Chris Davis and Joey Gallo. I think they'd be fun to watch much more so than, say, Gary Sanchez. But I think they made one mistake. If I look at the tiers and the matchups, they should have set it up so that there's a chance for Bellinger and Judge to go head-to-head in the final, and I don't think it's set up so that possibility exists. Too bad.
Yeah, it would be if Bellinger beats Blackman, which you would think he would, and Judge beats Boer, you know, then it's Bellinger and Gore, Bellinger and Judge in the semifinals. But I think you had to put Giancarlo Stanton number one because he's the defending champ.
Yeah, I have no problems with Stanton being seeded one. I just think it would have been neat had the possibility existed for those two guys to go head to head in the final. And if in fact they did, it would be just an incredible final. The two kids going nose to nose.
I got to tell you, Timmy, I've seen Gary Sanchez take batting practice a dozen times. It's going to be fun. This guy's got 70 raw, maybe 80 raw. I mean, this guy can mash with the best of them. We're not talking in-game power here in the home run derby. We're talking just raw power. And I bet you he hits some bombs 450, 460 out there. And I expect him to do okay.
Yeah, no, I'm being picky here, Rich, but I would rather see Chris Davis from the A's than Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, well, I think that'd be fun. I mean, Chris Davis is not an all-star, though, is he?
No, but do you need to be an all-star to be in the home run competition?
I don't think so, but I know that Joey Gallo didn't want to be in it unless he was an all-star, so maybe that's how some players want to do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, hey, why not have Scooter Gennett in there, eh? He's a big single-game home run leader in the first half, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. And Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, they might be the same guy from a home run standpoint. I mean, these are just both 80-grade raw and just can yank. And another guy who's got 80-grade raw is Miguel Sano. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's three guys with 80-grade raw. Sanchez and Moustakas with 70 grade, Cody Bellinger with probably 65 grade raw. I don't know what Justin Boer has. And then it's Charlie Blackman. I don't get that one, Timmy. I'm with you.
Well, yeah, stolen bases don't count, so he doesn't get a bump up there. But I'm gonna go with Mike Moustakas to win the whole thing. I'm gonna go with a bit of an underdog.
I'm going with Aaron Judge, and then Judge collapses in the second half.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter what he does in the second half. If he hits less than 30 home runs, people will consider it a collapse, and he's going to have an incredibly tough time matching what he did in the first half. I would say next to impossible. If he hits 60 home runs at the end of the season, good Lord, that's unheard of.
I know we've talked about the Cubs a lot, Timmy, but I just want to mention them again. I mean, this is, I think, an unprecedented year where the reigning World Series champ does not have anybody from that team who is an all-star this year. I mean, everybody's batting 260. Their pitching is terrible. I mean, the Cubs aren't very good.
But did you see today's game? They were down 10-0 before Chad Kuhl, on 2 days rest, took the hill for the Pirates.
I know. I mean, Lester just got, I mean, he got torched. He got taken out after, I don't know if he made it through the first inning or not, because I saw that 10 spot, and it was only 4 earned runs, but that's never a good thing.
Well, no. A couple errors in there by Bryant and Contreras, and yeah, I think Lester lasted 2/3, if I'm not mistaken. He took a pounding.
Yeah, that's never good for your fantasy teams either. Timmy, when we get back,
no.
We are going to talk about our picks and pans going into the second half, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you've got.
Likewise.
So this is how it works, Timmy. We've got last week we did our review of the first half. This week we're doing our preview of the second half, and we're looking for three positional players and three pitchers. We're going to go picks first. You'll do one pick, then I'll do a pick, and we'll kind of go like that of the batters that you think And again, there's the only character, the only criteria you gave you is they're bad now, you think they're going to be good, or they're already good and you think they're going to continue. And it can't be Michael Trout. You know, it's got to be a guy that's like, wow, I didn't realize he was this good. I think it's real and I think he's going to continue. That's the only criteria, Timmy. So give me your first guy.
Okay, well, this is going to be a bit of a challenge for me, Rich, because what I did was I did picks, pans, and I intermersed pitchers and hitters all over the place. So I've got my trusty pen out here, and I'm going to get them all off. We're looking at batters, and we're looking at picks first, correct?
So, Timmy, I'm totally flexible. Why don't you give me – let's do picks first. Don't worry about if it's a
okay.
pitcher or a batter. If once you give either a pitcher or a batter – I will give you the same back. How's that sound?
Well, that works. That works for me. Unfortunately, my ability to read and comprehend wasn't real good when I was going over the notes today, Rich. Had a couple brain cramps.
No worry, Timmy. I understand that reading comprehension is a skill. I'm well aware of that.
Well, yeah, and there wasn't, there wasn't enough arrows on the notes. Okay, I'm talking about it back your way. Okay, not enough highlighting it.
All right, Timmy. So give me a pick, man. Come on.
Okay, we're looking at a hitter. We're looking at a Houston Astro, and we're looking at a guy that had a 200 batting average in May, and many doubted his skills. Brought it up to 309 in June. In July, he's hitting 480 with 10 RBIs so far. And I liked him right from the get-go. And I'm going with Yuleski Gurriel of the Houston Astros to have himself a really solid second half.
Wow. I completely forgot about Yuli Gurriel, Tim. That's a great call, particularly anybody in that Houston Astros organization that you can get, you think, on the cheap, I think you should get.
Well, yeah, that's when I looked at Gurriel, he's sort of getting lost in the Springer, Altuve, and everything else offense that's going on in Houston right now, and he's really getting it done. If I could find a way to pick him up for a reasonable buck, I'd be all over it, Rich.
And here's another, I'll throw out another Houston Astro, Timmy. How about Derek Fisher as a guy who we saw him in the Futures game, came up for a cup of coffee, Astros are very impressed with him. He's either going to be traded as part of a trade bait to get a Carlos Quintana or somebody like that, Sonny Gray, or I think we see him in the second half. If he comes up in the Astros organization, you should go ahead and get him now because you know he's going to score runs and get RBIs.
Oh, yeah. It's literally impossible not to score runs and drive in runs when you've got a lineup that's as loaded as the Astros. You know, Bregman's another one. I think he's going to have a much improved second half as well. I think he stole a base today, scored 2-3 runs. Any player playing on an offense that good and that solid has to be an asset.
It's interesting, Timmy. We said the exact, and everybody, not just us, we said the exact same thing about the Chicago Cubs last year. You did not want to start a pitcher against the Chicago Cubs. You don't want to start a pitcher unless his name is Max Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw, and they've both playing in the National League, so it's probably not going to happen. It's tough to go in Houston or up against Houston and fare very well.
Well, yeah, right now the only pitcher that I think I'd feel comfortable with in the only couple pitchers I'd feel comfortable with going up against the Astros would be Sale and Kluber.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, if you've got a good pitcher, first if you have a number three or below pitcher and he's going up against the Astros, you have to sit him. If given what we're seeing this year, Tim, and you mentioned in one of our leagues, I mean, a 0.1 difference in ERA in a rotisserie league is a big deal this year. And, if you think your ratios are going to get destroyed by putting a guy in Houston, then you can't do it.
No, it's simply not worth the risk.
My first pick, Timmy, is Manny Machado. I wrote this before his breakout game yesterday, but it's been brutal. 229 Babbitt is, I think, obviously is the biggest culprit, but the strikeout and walk rates all look the same as they have been. I think he's due for a nice bounce back in the second half. The Orioles are going to be a little out of it, which, runs a little contrary to that belief there because maybe he doesn't put it all out there, but you know, I just don't believe. I'm believing in the behind the scenes stats or the underlying stats that he's due for a correction, a positive correction. And I'm all in on Manny Machado. If I could grab him in a dynasty league with somebody who's a little disappointed in, I would go ahead and do it, or try to grab him in a redraft league and trade somebody like an Aaron Judge for Manny Machado. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. It's not going to get any worse from a batting average perspective, is it?
No, I think it's very reasonable that he could bat 280 in the second half and continue with his home runs, but his RBIs and his runs go up, and he's not going to run because nobody runs in Baltimore because of, you know, Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo. There's really no reason to. You just get on. It's Earl Weaver baseball. You get on base and wait for the three-run home run.
Well, yeah, exactly. When Joey Rickard is your leading stolen base threat, you don't need to expand on that, do you?
Which I think hurts Manny Machado. I think he's a first-round draft pick, even if he has, let's say he winds up 260 batting average this year with 35 home runs and 3 stolen bases. In today's game, Timmy, I don't think that's a first-round draft pick anymore.
No, I don't think it is either. I think with the premium going on pitching and speed, I think Machado gets bumped back to the top 5-6 picks in the second round.
I agree. Who's your second pick, Tim?
Well, I'm going with a guy I liked heading into the season, and a guy that many have said has had a really disappointing first half, but the guy's got 10 home runs and 45 RBIs, and that's not a bad first half at all, and I think there's a lot more to come. He hits the ball hard, and I think it's just a matter of a break or two either way, and Nick Castellanos, I think, is going to have a great second half. I'm all in on Castellanos.
I think it's a good call, Timmy. It was funny, we debated Nick Castellanos or Mike Moustakas, and Mike Moustakas has been the better player so far, but I still like Castellanos. But again, the same thing with the Orioles. I mean, if Detroit falls out of it and they start selling off, I mean, that could hurt his value. I don't think it'll be one of the guys sold off, but it could hurt his overall value.
Yeah, at the same point in time, he might find himself hitting in the 3 spot or the 5 spot. So
Fair point.
I'm not sort of sold either way.
I'm stepping way out here, Timmy, and I could be completely wrong on this. I'm just looking at the stat lines and because I don't like this player, but Jose Reyes, 8 home runs, 10 stolen bases, a .214 batting average. He's available in 26% of leagues. He's only got a .221 batting average of balls in play, 13% strikeout rate, a 9% walk rate. All of that says that this guy should be due for a positive correction here. And 8 home runs and 10 stolen bases in the first half ain't bad, Tim. And he's only out there in 26% of leagues. I mean, if this guy winds up a 20-20 player and improves in the second half with his batting average, that's not a bad little player.
No, it's not. And you know he's going to play, and he's not going to be, and he's not tradable because the Mets aren't going to eat the salary. He's on a huge monster contract. So, yeah, he's going to play every day, and, yeah, you look at trying to find stolen bases, and they could be sitting right there for you.
Yeah, and the problem is no one's going to pick him up. The Mets are going to try to trade as many guys as they want, but nobody wants Jose Reyes. I doubt anybody wants Curtis Granderson. Not many. Maybe somebody wants Jay Bruce. They don't. They've got all these old players that are past their prime. Jose Reyes, on a baseball standpoint, he can't play a position, and that's his problem from to be traded. They won't do it. He costs too much money to be traded.
And what does that do to Michael Conforto, fourth outfielder?
I can't see how they make him a fourth outfielder. I mean, Granderson's playing a lot better. Yonis Cespedes, is he going to play much in the second half, Tim? He seems like every day he plays, he gets hurt.
Well, yeah, but you got Cespedes, you got Bruce, okay, and you got Granderson, who's been tearing it up. As much as I love the skills that Michael Conforto possesses, I could see him in for a rough second half from an at-bat perspective.
I hear you, Tim. I hear you. But I think Jay Bruce he has to be a guy that gets moved. I mean, he is not that expensive. He's got the power. I think he's a guy that gets moved, and I think Curtis Granderson plays right. Conforto, I can't believe I'm saying this, plays center and Jonas Cespedes plays left. And when Jonas Cespedes is hurt every other week, then Conforto moves over to left and Juan Ligueras plays center if he comes back healthy.
Yeah, it's just an all-around mess. They've been moving Jay Bruce, I think, for at least 2 years now, and he's still a Met. Like, get it together and make your moves, New York.
Yeah. It's just a bad team, Timmy. It's a bad organization. Who's your next pick?
Well, my next pick is a former Washington National who's now playing in Tampa Bay, who, since returning on June 24th, he has 3 home runs. And they come at a position where there haven't been as many home runs this year as many of us would have liked to have seen. We can blame LaCroix for that. But I like Wilson Ramos. I think he could
Great
hit
call.
12 to 15 homers in the second half coming out of the catcher slot.
And he can hit. That's a great call, Timmy. That's awesome call. I don't know how available he is in on waiver wires, but that's a great call. Even in shallower leagues, I mean, he might be a guy that you want, you know, as a top 10 catcher, top 12 catcher. So a guy in a one catcher league, you should be playing.
Well, yeah, definitely Ramos has to be active every day. And I really like his chances in the second half of being potentially a top 4 or 5 catcher.
Here's my third pick, Tim. You've done all positional players. Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana only has 10 home runs. That was after he hit 30 home runs last year, and given how much home runs is up, that 10 home runs out of your first base position or corner infield is really, really hurting. But he's got a 14% strikeout rate, a 13% walk rate, and his BABIP is .250. And the big problem from looking at last year versus this year, it's a 60% drop in home run to fly ball ratio. So maybe last year, maybe we're seeing some level of correction. But I think this guy hits more than 10 home runs in the second half. And I think you could see 15 home runs, which puts him back on a pace for 30 home runs, which I think is pretty reasonable. I think there's some upside with Carlos Santana.
Yeah, I agree, especially when you start looking at OBP leagues. The potential is there that he could be cause for moving you up in that category in the second half.
Tim, you want to do more picks? You want to do more pans? Whatever you want to do. Just tell me what you got.
Well, I just had one other pick as far as a bat is concerned. And, you know, I'm developing a very, very serious man crush on Chris Davis in Oakland. You know, I know we had concerns when he moved to Oakland. No reason to have concerns. 24 homers in the first half. I think we're going to see another 24 in the second half. Now, granted, there are some batting average issues, but I think that puts him in a position where it's possible to acquire Chris Davis. He flies a little bit under the radar, and I think he's going to be a steady producer in the second half with another 20-plus homers and finish up the year somewhere between 45 and 50.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's never walked very much until basically this year. So even a .246 batting average, all of a sudden his on-base percentage is .335, and that comes with 24 home runs. Thank you very much. I'll take that.
Well, yeah, and if you asked the average fan or the average fantasy player, you know, who has been a top 10 home run hitter in the past 2 years, the one name I'm willing to bet that they'll probably miss would be Chris Davis.
As you know, Timmy, I've been a huge Chris Davis fan ever since he got called up. He was a late bloomer, and I have him in a number of dynasty leagues. And he's always been goodness. You talked me off the ledge when he got moved to Oakland and said he'd be just fine. I thought we'd see some regression in the power, but as you just said, not so.
No, he just keeps on keeping on, Rich.
My final pick is Mike Trout, Tim. I think he's going to be really good this year.
Bold, Rich. Very, very bold. Most prognosticators would not step out on a ledge like that. I commend you.
That's why people listen to the show, Timmy. They come for that hard-hitting analysis. And there you go. Michael Trout, Tim. Going to be good. All right.
I thought it was for the cortisone 10 and wheel-bearing advice.
The cortisone 10, Timmy, that's going to go down as one of the best stories ever. And the sad thing is it's actually true. So.
I pulled off another gem this week. It's got to be the medication. But maybe at the end of the show I'll explain it to you, Rich, but on a scale of 1 to 10, another 11. I did it again. I didn't think that was possible. I really didn't.
Oh, so that you've teased everybody. So hopefully my connection won't go wacky like it did last week. Okay. You want to go picks in for pitching, or do you want to go pans for hitting?
Why don't we wrap up the hitting and go with the pans?
Okay. Who's your first pan?
An easy one. Trevor Story. He's on pace for 200 plus strikeouts. We've beat Trevor Story to death with a sharp stick, and it ain't changing. Those strikeouts are outrageous, and I don't see them changing. And I think it's going to be a problem right through the second half. And hey, it is what it is. You were warned before the season. It's come to fruition again, and you're stuck living with it.
And Brendan Rodgers in AA. You could see Brendan Rodgers, particularly if Colorado has a very good team next year again. You could see him, Timmy, in the second half of next year. So Trevor Story doesn't have much more time to fix this.
No, it's got to be happening like this off season coming up. He's got to display some skills we haven't seen heading into, you know, April, May of next year, or else, yeah, he's going to eventually get passed by Brendan Rodgers on the depth chart.
Timmy, this next one, I mean, I've gotten 20, 30, maybe 50 tweets about Aaron Judge. Everyone in disbelief. I mean, how is he doing this? He's striking out 30% of the time, now down to 29% of the time. For every fly ball he hits, 40% of them are home runs. He has a .419 batting average of balls in play. Everything looks like a correction, but yet it just continues to it continues to defy the odds. I think it catches up with him in the second half, and if it doesn't, he is a non-draft guy next year because it will eventually correct. Doesn't always correct in a year. Can correct in 2 years, 3 years, but it will correct. I don't know if you ever. So I subscribe to, I do a lot of like investing, Timmy, and there's this notion that markets are very sentiment based. So based on the sentiment of people moves markets, and it has nothing to do with the quality of companies, a little bit to do with that, but mostly it is just the movement of people back and, you know, of sentiments back and forth. But yet most people, when they see stock markets go up and down, they always look for a reason why that happened. And it's usually a made up reason. So it'll be, well, it's because this, that, and the other happened. Here's my analysis of Aaron Judge. He's going to go off and if he has a good all-star game or not in the home run derby, he'll have an off second half of the season, and people will blame it on the all-star home run derby because we hear it all the time. And yet it's simply a correction. We see this in stock markets. We see this all the time. When something bad happens, you always look back for a reason. And most of the time it's the wrong reason because the sentiments and the all of the things that were calls for the correction were something that were seeded a long time ago. And I think it is a perfect analogy with Aaron Judge.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, the same thing's going to happen with Cody Bellinger. He only hits 15 home runs in the second half. It's got to be the all-star home run derby, right?
It's set up for those guys to be the perfect excuse. And the fact is they couldn't have kept this up. They're either going to get tired or they're naturally just going to correct because the pitchers will adjust and eventually they won't adjust or it'll take them time to readjust. But yet we've got this home run derby sitting there to point and go, that's what it is. And that's what the casual fan will look to. That's what the media will look to. People who listen to this podcast and people who follow baseball deeply will know, no, it just a .419 batting average of balls and play a 30% strikeout rate and a 42% fly ball to home run ratio. That's what will correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you possibly hinting that that's not sustainable, Rich?
No, I am possibly hinting. And I'm telling you, so for those of you who ever like want to be amateur investors, that's the kind of stuff you look for. You look for things that are out of whack. You never invest in stuff, Timmy, that's doing really well because they're always going to correct. It's just a natural thing, right? So many people like make this mistake. Oh, Apple's really hot. Let me invest in Apple. Well, now Apple's down. So then the people lose their money. That's the flaw in investing. That's actually the same flaw in baseball as well. That's why there's so much analogy between commodities and baseball players, particularly in the fantasy game, because it basically rides the same kind of wave. So you look for those sentiments and you try to figure out what's happening behind the scenes to hopefully better help you predict the future. And all you're doing is probabilities, Timmy, that the probability of Aaron Judge regressing is extremely high. Will it happen? I don't know, but the probability is there.
Buy low, sell high.
Exactly, Timmy. Your next pan.
My next pan, I'm going with Michael Conforto. I think, you know, as we discussed just a couple minutes ago, I think there's going to be playing time issues unless the Mets move one of them outfielders, and that really concerns me in the second half, along with, you know, just the fact that he has struggled the past month. I know there's injuries, et cetera, but I'm not looking at good things out of Michael Conforto in the second half.
I regrettably think you could be right. I like Michael Conforto as well, but it is not lining up in Mets land for him. My next pan is a guy that I give a lot of credit for because I never thought this guy would be this good, and that's Trey Mancini. He's got 14 home runs, but it's a 27% strikeout rate. He never walks, 392 batting average of balls in play, a 24% home run to fly ball ratio. It's not real. It's just not real, and a correction is coming. So if one of your teammates, league mates, needs power, and you've got Trey Mancini, I would be moving him.
Well, yeah, not only that, Chris with the C. Davis is going to be returning, so there could be some pressure on his at-bats as well.
Totally agree, Timmy. Who's your next pan?
My next pan, this one hurts, but I just can't see, with a Babbitt that is a sky high, I just can't see a repeat of the first half for future Hall of Famer Avisail Garcia. I think we're going to see him come back down to earth. I think he'll still be an asset based on what you paid for him back in the spring, but I'm expecting a little bit more of a grounded second half of the Garcia, Rich.
I'm glad you said that to me because I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's like, but I've been saying that for all, and then he continues to be Avi Garcia, but I think you're right. Congratulations on making the All-Star game. He's going to regress.
Yeah, that's. I think it's blatantly obvious. As much as, like I said, it pains me.
Joey Scribe in the interactive chat room says, "Hey, Rich, if you get a chance, can you give us your thoughts regarding Reds starting pitcher Luis Castillo? I'm a huge fan of Luis Castillo. You should go back and read prospect361.com. And I might have been the first guy on this guy. I had a chance to see him in high A, and I'm like, whoa, this guy's got really good stuff. Fastball, changeup guy." Timmy, he's been very good since he's been called up. You don't like where he pitches in the American small ballpark, but the guy's got really good stuff. He's got decent control. I think he's only going to get better.
Well, yeah, you got to remember, we're talking about a pitcher that has 7 starts at AA on his resume. That's it. That's all. I am totally blown away by what I'm seeing out of Castillo. I think it's sustainable. I think there's going to be some hiccups. But at the same point in time, if you owned him in a dynasty league, pat yourself on the back and smile on both sides of your face. I think you got a good one.
Yeah, I don't own him anywhere, Timmy. And it's one of those things I should read my stuff more carefully because I was really bullish on this guy when he was in the Marlins organization and we got traded to the Reds. I'm like, wow, I don't like that trade because I prefer him down in Miami, but I was pretty big on Luis Castillo, and it's playing out. I think you're right. We're going to see some hiccups. I mean, just normally are, but ERA is 313, his FIP is 467, so that says that hiccups are coming, but the strikeout rate is 11.74.
Yeah, you got to love it.
Yep. On base, 96%. So, yeah, there is a little regression, Joe, that's going to happen. But I think long-term, in Dynasty League in particular, in years to come, I think Luis Castillo could be a really nice number three starting pitcher. All right, Timmy, where were we?
I think we are now looking at our pitching picks.
Okay. Why don't you give me your pick of a pitcher then?
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going with a guy that had himself a rough first half after a great WBC, a pitcher that could potentially get traded in the next short while. And I think Jose Quintana will get the walks in order. I think we'll see a bit more consistent play out of Quintana. And I haven't given up the ghost. I want him in the second half, Rich.
And from what I'm hearing, Timmy, and again, I talked to a lot of people throughout the week, none of the teams have given – they all think he's Jose Quintana, that they do not believe this is a guy that's put up the first half that he's put up. Everybody still believes the stuff is fantastic. Ball's coming clean out of his hand. I mean, that's an overused term, but those are scouting words, and everybody likes what they're seeing. And I think there's a really good chance he gets moved in the second half, and teams still love this guy.
Yeah, and I support that notion 100%, Rich, being that I own him in every league. I have no choice, right?
In full disclosure, Timmy, I wrote this before this guy's very good outing yesterday, and I couldn't believe I was writing. I'm going to read because this is what Timmy knows because I wrote this. I can't believe I'm writing this, but his 5.48 ERA should regress. 0.87, a strikeout rate of 8.17, and a reasonable walk rate of 3.29. The man pitcher is Adam Wainwright.
Yeah, when I saw that on the notes, I said to myself, self, is it time to call Rich? Do we need to have a talk here? Because it hasn't been a pretty first half. But I agree. I don't think it's going to get any worse. And the underlying stats say that we should see better in the second half.
And again, he had a really good outing yesterday too. Won the game, and I don't know who he pitched against, but I kind of believed a little bit in Adam Wainwright coming in, and I've not been rewarded for that. But and I'm sure I'll start him. And Timmy, if you recall, remember I didn't start him at all at the beginning of the year because he played the Cubs all the time, and he would win against the
right.
Cubs, and we were joking. You even said, if he plays the Cubs again, are you going to start him? I said, of course not. They're the Cubs. Turns out the Cubs aren't any good. So that was the first indication.
Well.
That was the early warning that the Cubs were no good. Adam Wainwright was controlling them.
That's not a good sign, is it? Not with the start of Wainwright at.
I know. Anyway, who's your next pick, Tim?
Well, you know what? All the cool kids want Chad, and I want him too, Rich. You know, past nine games, he's allowed, in six of those games, two earned runs or less. He's starting to pitch deeper into games. The kid sports a fastball that comes up just a pinch shy of triple digits. He's hitting 97, 98 with a fastball. And I'm buying cool wherever I can, and I'm getting him at a decent price where I can. And I just think that we're going to see a much better, a much improved pitcher in the second half as he refines his skills. Hey, I like Chad Cool.
It's funny, Timmy. I liked him as well about 4 weeks ago when he was sporting like a 5 ERA, and I just didn't make any moves with him because I forgot about it. I wasn't completely
right.
convinced because I looked at the spin rate, I looked at the velocity, and everything screamed. This guy had really, really good stuff. And then you see all pitchers who go to Pittsburgh do very, very well, it seems like. And you're right. That call should have been made several weeks ago when Chad Kuhl was not doing very well and everything was lined up that he was going to be a better pitcher than he was. Buy low, sell high. I did not buy low. I just sat on it.
Yeah, no, it's I know we've talked about him numerous times, and definitely he is one of my current man crushes, Rich.
Jimmy Nelson, Timmy, it's real. 3.20 ERA, a 3.12 FIP, 9.69 K per nine, a 2.16 walk per nine, a 50% ground ball rate. It doesn't get much better than that stat line. I mean, that is a stat line of a number two starter, you know, in Major League Baseball, which means that's a top 20 starter probably in the game. This is a kid who came with a huge pedigree coming out of the minor leagues, and it just took him a while to put it all together. I don't see anything lurking that this guy's not going to be anything but continue to be money this year and in the future. I'm Jimmy Nelson, huge fan, and Timmy, Milwaukee Brewers might win that Central Division.
Yeah, they might. I was just going to add to your comments on Nelson, who I also love. He's going to get some support from that offense, isn't he?
That's a team, Timmy, that's strong up the middle with Cam Broxton. I'm not a huge fan, as you well know, but dude can play some outfield,
right,
man. That's a guy who can go get it. Orlando Arcia is a plus defender at shortstop. So, and now they got Steven Vaught back at catcher. I mean, that's a strong up the middle team with, I mean, do you see what Travis Shaw is doing at third base? Boston was.
Yeah,
can you imagine being Boston and giving up on him? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're very happy with the combination of Sandoval and Lynn right now, Rich. You know, if you ever wanted to get not invited to any Boston functions, you could probably just bring up those two names and immediately rule yourself off the guest list in the future. But you know, even when you look at, you know. You know, a lot of people right now are down on Eric Thames, okay? But if you take Thames and Aguilar and you look at what the two of them have done combined this year at first base, they are by far the best totals coming out of the first base position in all of baseball. It's been absolutely amazing. And Domingo Santana is a future all-star. I don't care how many kids the Brewers have in their organization. I don't think any of them are going to supplant Santana anytime soon.
And they have, having said all that, Timmy, they've got one of the best farm systems in all of baseball. So they could bring in a Jose Quintana. They could bring in a Sonny Gray. They've got chips to bring in players and not really lose a lot. And going back to Eric Thames, I mean, you can say what you want about his .245 batting average. In baseball and more sophisticated fantasy leagues, he's got a .373 on base percentage to go along with 23 home runs. What's not to like?
Well, the only thing is a good chunk of that power was in April. But if you watch, he is walking and getting on base on a regular basis. If Jonathan Villar heats up, that team has the potential, I believe, to rival the Houston Astros as far as their overall offense.
Well, I agree. Well, yeah, totally agree with you. I still think Eric Thames is, I mean, he's going to hit 30, 35 home runs. He's going to have a .351 base percentage league. And if you play in rotisserie leagues, to me, which is the primary game that you and I play in, thank you very much.
Well, he's going to score a ton of runs hitting out of the two hole as well.
Yeah, it's not. There's not a lot of RBIs. It's 43, so you're talking 85 RBIs when it's all said and done. But it could be 110 runs scored as well. So, I'm sorry, Timmy. I mean, again, head-to-head league. I know those guys are not happy, right? Because they tore it up in April, and then May wasn't very good. But he's turned it on a little bit here recently. So, I don't think Eric Thames is a pan or a guy that, you know, that people should be down on. I think he's been very, very good.
Well, yeah, and I know I just traded for him recently in an OBP league. I'm very happy to have his services in DL5 next year.
You have a DL? I agree. Totally agree with you. And I think that's those on-base percentage leagues, people forget that it is on-base percentage league, and many times they look at that bad batting average and they make the deal, and I think that can be a mistake. Okay, Timmy, so I got picks, Adam Wainwright, Jimmy Nelson. Do you have any other picks or ready to go to pans?
Any other picks? Yeah, I just want to mention a pitcher that I mentioned we talked about last week, but if you can get a hold of Michael Fulmer, go buy him. I like Michael Fulmer a lot. And if you're going to be buying, I think the next half year is when to buy, because I think after that his price is going to start rising as more people become aware of the fact that he's such a great young pitcher. So I'm all over Fulmer as well, Rich.
I was actually watching Kluber. Kluber's gone up against Fulmer tonight. They're at the top of the fourth, and it's 1-0 Detroit over Cleveland. But Miguel Cabrera was standing on first base next, I guess it was Carlos Santana. Miguel Cabrera is a big dude, and I thought Carlos Santana, I mean, looked much smaller. But I don't know if you saw, it reminded me, did you see this week where, it was actually last weekend when Houston and the Yankees played, and Aaron Judge was on second base, and Jose Altuve was, it was unbelievable, Tim. I mean, it was just a massive man next to this little tiny boy. He literally came up to midway in his chest. It was crazy.
Well, you know what? If Judge would have stuck his hand out and they would have held hands, it would have looked like Altuve could have been saying, "But Daddy, I want more ice cream." That's how much of a difference there was in size.
If you've not seen it, it's all over the place. I mean, just go and type in Jose Altuve and Aaron Judge. It is a remarkable photo that, I mean, we'll be shown probably the rest of the year. It's just an amazing thing. So, Timmy, any other picks? Are ready to go to Pans for pitchers?
I'm ready to go to Pans, and I got no shortage of them, Rich.
Yeah, I said only pick two, but let's go through these quickly because we're at 9:10 already. I want to get done in about 20 minutes. So, who's your first Pan?
Okay. Gio Gonzalez. Ain't going to happen in the second half. No way, no how.
Totally agree with you, Timmy. I'll match you with Gio Gonzalez. Irvin Santana, not gonna continue. 2.99 ERA, a 4.69 FIP, 84% left on base. You usually like to see that at 75%, so that means only 16% of the people that Irvin Santana is putting on base are scoring. That usually comes out to 25%. He only has a 6.8% strikeout per nine. It's going to be ugly in the second half.
Yeah, he was a sell-high candidate about 6 weeks or so ago. I think that time is long past now, Rich. I don't see any surprises there, and his owner shouldn't be surprised by what happens in the second half either.
But guys like Irvin Santana, I mean, did you ever really sell high on him? I mean, nobody believed that, unless you're playing in a very basic league where people don't really understand what's – nobody believed in Irvin Santana.
Well, no, in definitely in deeper leagues. But in deeper leagues, you need 6, 7, 8 pitchers. I still think he's going to hold value as a 5, 6, 7, 8. But no, you're right. If you tried to get anything for Irvin Santana in a standard 15 team league with veteran players, they looked at you and said, "Really?"
Yeah, I'll give you a bag of balls for Irvin Santana. Who's your next Pan?
Next Pan, I got to go with the Houston Astros starter, Brad Peacock. Past six games, he's walked 5-2, 6-2, 4-4. He's been a revelation. We've got some great numbers out of Peacock, but he's not going to continue posting the numbers that he has been while he continues to walk the number of batters that he has. I think we're going to see some ugliness in the second half of the Brad Peacock.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. I picked up Brad Peacock in one league, Timmy, and it's usually a guy I would not pick up because I usually take a look at the long view of things. But I said, you know, I'm gonna do a Tim McLeod. He's hot. I'm gonna pick him up. Timmy, I'm scared to death every time I pitch him. He gives up 4 walks a day. Nobody scored. I don't know how that's possible. But one day it's gonna be really, really ugly.
Well, yeah, it's gonna be like Tony Cingrani a few years ago. You were right. He's a bullpen arm, and he has been for a couple of years. But for that one brief instance of 2 months, Cingrani was a hot starter and won people or certainly contributed to people winning leagues.
And he's helping me, Timmy, because pretty much he's not giving up many runs, and the Astros score 8 or 9 runs a game, so he's winning a ton of games.
Well, yeah, it's pretty hard to take a loss. You got to work at it to take a loss with the Houston offense, Rich.
I'm just watching the feed on ESPN. Timmy, do you know who Mike Francesa is?
The name rings a bell, yeah.
So he's a legendary, I guess that's the right word. He had a radio show in New York City for years called Mike and the Mad Dog. And Mad Dog kind of went off to Sirius XM. That's I forgot what the guy's name is. But so Mike Francesa
Russo?
Now has his – pardon me?
Russo?
Yeah. The Russo guy. And
yeah,
but they've been on. I think they were like the original sports talk show. I mean, when people listened to WFAN was like the original kind of large sports station out there, and they kind of, I don't want to say they invented sports talk, but that was always the impression I had. They kind of invented it. And Mike Francesa has decided he's retiring, wants to do something different with his life, okay, which I totally appreciate. But do you mm-hmm. know who's interviewing for the job? Have you heard this?
No, I haven't. But you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb because I'm going to go with Lenny Melnick. How's that?
Lenny Melnick used to call into Mike Francesa's show, and he was Lenny from Long Island or something like that. But it's none other than my friend and soon-to-be former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. Now, I don't know if you've been following what's happening in New Jersey, Timmy. They had a they shut down the state government here. Yeah, they shut down the state government. They shut the beaches down leading into the 4th of July weekend. But Chris Christie said, screw that. The beach is completely empty. And he weighs like 400 pounds. He and his whole family are the only people on the beach. But he wants to be now a talk show host, and he wants to be a sports talk show host. And apparently he's been doing mock hosts, and apparently he's very good, and apparently he might get the job. So I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, I think he'll have a toll to pay for that one, Rich.
Yeah, I know. It's like he's at the. I mean, it's funny. I mean, New Jersey politics are very, very interesting because there's still the mob here, and it's everything you saw in The Sopranos pretty much still happens here. So, and Chris Christie, who I always thought was a good dude, kind of in the last 3 or 4 years, it hasn't been very good for him. That scene with him on the beach with his family was a big F you to the state of New Jersey. And you know, on one hand, you kind of admire it. On the other hand, it's just like, dude, it's time to get out.
Well, yeah, it's one thing to think it. It's another thing to do it and throw it in somebody's face. How does that sound?
Yeah. Somebody tweeted out, he was reading a book, like a mystery novel, and they zoomed in on the book that he was reading, and they tweeted out that I might be the only person in the state of New Jersey that's not unhappy at the moment because Chris Christie was reading his book and it was plastered on every newspaper.
Yeah, somebody, for every loss, there's got to be a gain somewhere, right?
There's got to be a gain, Tim, the yin and the yang. Give me another pan, Timmy.
Another pan. I'm going with Fernando Rodney. I simply have to. It's almost like a rule. I can't go a full year saying good things about the old crooked cap. And, you know, he's two blown saves already in July. Hey, you know, everybody who bought him super, super late. They've gotten a great return out of him as far as the save numbers. But I just can't see him staying in the closer role right through to the end of the year. Arizona's got too good of a team. Rodney's too volatile. Archie Bradley would definitely have my interest if he's a free agent in your league.
Totally agree with you, Timmy. My next pan is Dylan Bundy. And I've spoke about the correction was coming. The correction might already be here. His ERA is up to 4.33. He's only a 32% ground ball rate, only 7 strikeouts per 9. His FIP is 4.88. I think there's some more ugly outings coming, Timmy. And we know that the Orioles are going to continue to throw him out there probably – he's going to get tired. It's just setting up to be an ugly second half for Dylan Bundy. So I own him in a number of leagues, and he's going to be on my bench.
Yeah, and I think it's a good call. I think the kid has a ton of potential, but I don't think the second half will be displaying it this year.
Any more pitching pans, Tim?
Well, I got one more I want to mention, and simply, this pitcher – 2 years ago, tossed 127 and a third innings. Last year, 147 and two-thirds innings. At the halfway mark this year, he has thrown 112 and two-thirds innings. He's on pace for somewhere around 215 to 220 innings pitched. And I don't think he's going to do it. And I hate predicting health, but I think Steven Strasburg is going to be a disappointment in the second half. I think the Washington Nationals as a whole are going to be a disappointment between the bullpen, the back end of the rotation. I think we're going to see regression out of Ryan Zimmerman. Missing Adam Eaton is not that bad until you look at missing Taylor as well. I'm going to go out on a limb. My bold second half prediction, the Atlanta Braves catch the Nationals and win that division.
Wow. Timmy, you are smoking something, but I love the boldness of it. I love the boldness of it.
Well, hey, if you're going to smoke something, might as well be good, right?
There you go. Michael Fulmer just gave up a run. Tried to pick somebody off first base and threw it away, gets on second, and then E5 just doubles. So it's now tied up 1-1. Bummer there, Timmy.
I'll buy low.
It's interesting. I did watch on Saturday, I watched the Nationals play the Atlanta Braves, and I have Steven Strasburg in a number of leagues, and he was god-awful. And I didn't check this. My fault. The Atlanta Braves destroy Steven Strasburg. Everybody's batting over 300 against him. And Timmy, he wasn't fooling anybody.
No, it was a rough outing. And I've just been a long time since we've seen 200 innings out of Strasburg. And until I see it, I have to be a doubter.
I was screaming at Adam Lynn as he was just butchering left field, and he pretty much opened the floodgates. It wasn't an error, but should have caught the ball. Then the ball squid past him and got a double, and that was it. I mean, Strasburg was done, and they got hit with a pitch comebacker, and wasn't good. Steven Strasburg, ton of talent. He's never pitched a lot. I think Timmy is right. Timmy, when we get back from this quick little commercial, let me get over to our we're going to finish the show up to your waiver wire, and just one more who doesn't belong.
Okay, sounds good, Rick.
Let's say you were really into baseball last year, Timmy, and you loved it, you followed it, you knew all the stat lines, but for some reason, the first half of the season, you didn't even pick up a newspaper, you didn't go to a website, you didn't know anything about what was happening in baseball this year. So that's what I want you to imagine.
Okay.
You open up the sports section and you look at the stat lines and you see three people's names. Which one is the most surprising? Knowing what you know last year versus this year, Logan Morrison with 24 home runs, Justin Smoke with 23 home runs, or Andrew McCutchen with 16 home runs?
Justin Smoke with the 23, no doubt about it.
I'm going to say Andrew McCutchen. I thought he was done, Timmy. He ain't done. He's come around, man. It's been a guy the last 6 weeks that's been as hot as anybody in the league.
Yeah, no, he has. He's been playing great baseball. And the only reason I went with Smoke is because nobody saw that one coming. You know, McCutchen, yeah, the consensus was based on the past couple of years that he was in a rather rapid free fall into oblivion, but he'd done it before. And anytime a player has done it before, I don't think we can be totally shocked when they do it again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I just thought he was done. It was my bad. I clearly was hurt last year or something. And I mean, obviously Justin Smoke and Logan Morrison, who would have thunk it, but Andrew McCutchen to me has been a revelation this year. And I know in Dynasty League, people are giving him away. And congratulations if you decided to take a risk on him, because you have found gold.
Well, yeah, I tried to in DL2 for months. I tried moving McCutchen, but the offers were so horrible. I just made the conscious decision that I'm not going to move him for that. I'll let him die on my team before I give him away for two cents on the dollar. My stubborn side kicked in, and it's worked out.
The Scottish stubbornness, Timmy. We're well aware of the Scottish stubbornness. So let's go to your waiver wire. Good stuff, Timmy. It's a light list because it's a light week. But Jaiman Cho with the New York Yankees, he's played at every stop along the way, the Mariners, the Orioles, the Angels. Now he's with the Yankees, and he hit a bomb of a home run, and with everybody hurt, and I've heard a rumor out there that the Yankees are trying for Justin Bour, but Joe is the guy at the moment.
Yeah, he's the guy at the moment. He's hitting the ball a ton, and you know, when you look at Troy, and the big question is like, why? Where is this coming from? But you know, you go back, and he lost basically 2 years, 1 year to a drug suspension, and another year to a broken leg. So two of the past 3 years, he's actually lost at bats and developmental time. So maybe it is starting to catch up. You know, we're talking about a kid that in 1,500 plus at bats in the minors had a 400 plus OBP. So the strike zone judgment, I think, has always been solid. Who knows with Troy? You know, you hear the Yankees looking at Bour, but if Troy continues getting it done, he's worth a couple bucks just to find out, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I, living in New York for the last 17 years, I've seen this happen so many times. It's like guys come out of nowhere, at least for the first two or three, 4 weeks, and they look like Babe Ruth. And this could be Choi, and he could be just hot, and that's how you win leagues. You get guys that are hot. Anibal Sanchez, I mean, you must be high to have Anibal Sanchez on this list.
Well, you know, past four starts, only allowed 8 earned runs. I watched the last start, and man, his breaking stuff was falling off the table. The fastball was 93 plus. 3 consecutive quality starts. Roll him out there. When the streak stops, cut him loose if it does. But right now he's pitching well, so I think you got to give him a shot.
Good call, but a better call was Zach Granite. You mentioned him last week, Tim, and people are like, who? What? He's probably a fourth outfielder in the long run, and you know that Byron Buxton, the defense alone is probably the best in the league. Maybe there's an argument for Pilar out in Toronto, but I can't foresee him overtaking Byron Buxton in center field, but he's got speed. He's a bit of a slappy hitter, but Timmy, he's up well called. And give me your thoughts on him.
Well, I think right now it's a temporary situation because of Joe Mauer, but long-term, man, this kid can hit. He knows the strike zone. You're not looking at power. Like you said, he's going to slap it all over the place. But I think he's already got 2 or 3 walks, if I'm not mistaken, in the limited time we've seen him. And if I was Eddie Rosario, I'd be a bit concerned.
Rosario's been hot, but it's not real. So it's another guy that's due for aggression. I know I have him a couple of leagues, and I just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And maybe it's Zach Granite, but then – I mean, Rosario is only a 15 home run guy anyway, so maybe Granite gives you as much production out of there if he moves over to left field. Lonnie Chisenhall, I love what you said. He's on a tear. It's that time of year where he's going to hit 9 RBIs in one game. Lonnie Chisenhall.
Yeah, you know, hey, ride him till it breaks. This year it started June, 6 homers, 29 RBIs, a plus 300 batting average. He's a fantasy god until he isn't.
Miguel Montero, Timmy, he's out of Chicago, and you're saying the move from the AL to the NL means there's a new catcher in town in AL-only format, so it's a good call. Ketel Marte with Arizona. Tell us why Ketel Marte is back again after he seems up and down and up and down. Is he going to stick this time?
Well, I think he's going to stick for the next while, and I had to mention him. Did you catch that home run that he hit in Chavez Ravine last week?
Apparently it was 440 feet, so but I did not catch it.
Yeah, it came a couple feet away from leaving the park. My first thought was, what? But man, oh man, he laid into that one. It was such a beautiful swing. I had to mention him just for that home run, Rich.
Brad Boxberger, Timmy, should have been the closer last year, but he got injured. Now you're telling me Alex Colomé is not pitching very well, but Brad Boxberger is a sneaky little name on this list.
Well, yeah, you know, Colomé had a really rough June. He seems to have turned it around in July. But, you know, since that slump in June, now Colomé's got somebody looking over his shoulder. And Boxberger, when he's healthy, is definitely a solid pitcher. And hey, if Colome goes in the tank or even possibly moved, I could see Boxberger having some potential in the second half.
Anthony Swarzak is also a very interesting name on this list. Tell us why.
Well, everybody was on good old Tommy Conley, okay? Keenly, sorry. And, you know, he's got the job. He's going to be the closer when Robertson's eventually moved. Well, sometime between him being a fantasy god and today, he's shown he's a mere mortal. And he's now allowed runs in four of his fast five appearances. And Swarzak just keeps on quietly getting it done. A batter per inning, he's striking out a batter per inning, a mid-2 ERA. Hey, if Robertson is moved, Nate Jones can't stay healthy, Conley's struggling a little bit, I think Anthony Swarzak's next in line. So you want to spend a couple bucks on a hunch, there's a guy to spend a couple bucks on.
I love your write-up of Paul DeJong. I think that's how you pronounce it. I think it's like the guy in Sticks. Aledmys Diaz, who? That says it all, Tim.
Well, yeah, and you know, I wrote it up a little bit earlier in the week, and I mentioned the fact that he had 6-7 home runs, and he just homered in a game, and then I had to put back to back, and then after today, I had to put back to back two back because he's now homered in 3 consecutive games. Yeah, he doesn't walk a ton. I'm not convinced we're going to see a stellar batting average, but hey, I think he's up to 9 home runs now. He deserves to be rostered in all formats, especially when he's hot.
Timmy, it's a great list. It's a bit of a short list, but it's a great list with a lot of under-the-radar names on there, but a great job as usual. It is out there now. It'll be formally out there, posted all over the interwebs by 6 a.m., but you can simply go out. We try to get it out there early Sunday evening so people with Sunday night pickups can go take a look at it. Tell us your quick story, then I got to get out of here.
Okay, really quick. Bought Kathy a new bike, okay? Her bike was stolen a couple of years ago, and she really liked biking. So we went out with the kids for Mother's Day, and we all chipped in. We got her a new bike, okay? So we're sitting with this bike, and it's been raining like crazy here the past 2-3 weeks, so she hasn't had any opportunities to take it out. Well, finally this week, the sun's out. It's nice. She wants to go for a bike ride. So, you know, I checked the air, got everything all pumped out, took it outside, and she got on it, and right away there was a humongous problem. I got the thing built for us, okay? We picked it up at a large box store that isn't Target. I'm not going to mention any names, but anyhow, it was pre-built for us, Rich, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, she gets on this thing, and the first thing she notices, she can't turn the pedals without hitting the steering wheel, okay? So we got a rather serious problem here.
You mean the handlebars?
Yeah, they put it on backwards, if you can believe that. So anyhow, I'm looking at this. Okay, I take the bike and I said, you know, right away, a 4-letter word came out of my yap. Okay, you know what is up with this? It's a simple process. They can't even put the stupid front handlebar on right. I bring it in the house and I'm looking at it. And I go into the kitchen and get one of the 3 tools that I happen to have in the drawer. I'm looking at it.
Well played. Well played. Great.
I'm saying to myself, now I got to take this whole damn thing apart, okay? And I'm pissed. I'm not happy. And then all of a sudden, Kathy's watching me, and my face goes bright red, okay? Her first thought is, do I need to get the nitro? No, you don't need to get the nitro. All you have to do is turn it around, and it's in the right direction. I was all set.
Oh, my gosh. You had the bike. You had the handlebars turned the wrong
All you had to do was swivel the thing around. I'm an old guy.
Oh,
all
my gosh.
All my bikes had fenders on them, so you couldn't do it. So here I am with all the tools out, ready to dissect this thing in the living room. I could see parts all over the place, and all I had to do was turn the front wheel. Rich.
Timmy, it's been a tough one. That's very, very funny. It's what would have been worse if you would have taken it back and given them a really bad time and they'd go, sir, here, just do this.
Well, that's the first thing that Kathy said, because after my rant, she says, you know, can you imagine going back into this store and complaining at customer service, and then having a 16-year-old step on the other side of the counter and turn the steering wheel 180 degrees, and then having to actually live with that, doing business with that store when I get back to work. I might have had to have retired on that premise, Rich.
For sure. I mean, you would have just come in with a mask on. It would have been. That wasn't really me. That was somebody else. Oh, Timmy, that's very, very funny. You sound like you're as handy as I am. I will tell you that.
All the tools in this house, I am definitely proud to say they are all Kathy's. None of them are mine, and I don't know what to do with most of them. And I don't really care, Rich. I'd be on the stage where I need to add that to my life's resume.
Yeah, I have a hammer. I have a flat screwdriver and whatever the funny-looking screwdriver is. Those are the three tools I have. I'm right there with you, Tim.
Well, yeah, and the other thing I have is duct tape. And if you can't fix it with duct tape, it ain't worth fixing.
That's it. Timmy, it's been fun talking. Enjoy your 4 days off. I'm going to enjoy my 4 days off. I'm not going to think too much about baseball. We've just got to get these articles out. And we'll talk on Sunday.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing those articles, Rich. You have yourself a great week and be well.
Take care.